I like to time is 8:42, which means we're already 12 minutes behind schedule. That doesn't fill me with joy. I think that in future meetings we will have to turn up at the right time, because I do not want to start a meeting at 8:30 with a room that is filled with only 3 or 4 people. I think it's not particularly productive. So that's something to keep in mind for the next meeting in Dakar. Anyway, we'll start pretty quickly with the first thing being the report from the liaisons. And I believe we have both Alan and Cheryl in the room. Who wishes to start? Alan, do you wish to provide your report, please? So, Alan Greenberg.
This has been an interesting meeting in terms of the GNSO for some obvious reasons and some less so. And I will be doing a more formal report once I actually go back and try to figure out what happened. Clearly, there has been a significant sea change with respect to the attitude towards cross-working groups and things like that. There was a very, I think, productive and interesting discussion yesterday at the GNSO meeting, if any of you happen to have wandered by, on cross-working groups, because a small drafting team has been set up to look at issues related to working group rules and such like that. And there was a productive discussion. A number of things became obvious during the discussion, which if we had thought of them earlier, would have made our lives an awful lot easier. One of the issues that was raised during earlier discussions was some on the GNSO were somewhat surprised that we were surprised that they hadn't done anything with the first milestone report. It is typically GNSO practice going back a long time not to forward interim reports or anything. On the other hand, it is completely standard practice for working groups of all sorts to simply publish their interim papers for comment. And if in our wisdom we had simply had the jazz group publish its interim milestone reports for comment, all of our problems pretty well would have disappeared from that perspective. So you learn a little bit as you go along. Obviously, there is a lot of discussion about new GTLDs, but not a lot of action, because the GNSO, is almost out of that path at this point. A lot of discussion over the weekend. I don't know if any of you are on any of the working groups that Mikey O'Connor is on. He resigned in a rather flamboyant way yesterday, because discussions that went over that went on over the weekend about how to handle the IRTPB recommendations. And there was a lot of discussion within the working group about should some of them be rejected, should they be changed, and he feels strongly that working group output should be handled, rejected, accepted, period, not changed. And ultimately that is what has happened. It's interesting that he reacted to the discussion that went on the list, which was a very productive, interesting discussion, which wandered off in various directions and then came back again. So to the extent any of you see articles, because there's a number of blog posts about it already, take it with a grain of salt and look at the real details. I'm not sure there's anything salient that needs to be reported today. As I said, it's been an eventful week, but I don't think anything else that requires action or your prior knowledge to at this point.
Okay, thank you very much, Alan. Are there any questions with regards to Alan's preliminary report? Yes, Hong Chui.
Well, Alan also raised a hand. Oh, sorry, grab it. The UDRP review issue report was actually turned down by the staff. So I want to know, is there any follow-up from GNSO? Is this going on, or this is the end of the process? Thank you.
Alan.
I certainly could have expounded on that for a while. It's been another one of the issues of great debate, and I didn't think there was a great interest around this table of urgency, so I didn't mention it. It's not at all clear. There is some very, very strong feeling that we really don't want to open it up at this time, at the time that we're adding other intellectual property safety provisions with regard to the new GTLDs. There are people who feel very, very strongly that there are a lot of procedural issues that must be addressed because they're causing them problems on a regular basis. There is also the, I'm not sure I'd want to be quoted with this, and I probably will be, but a veiled threat from the intellectual property people that if we open up the UDRP right now, they have a bunch of things on their wish list too, and this is going to become very complex. There is some discussion now of forming a investigation team, let us call it, something that is not a formal PDP working group, to try to understand the issues and investigate them more. There were a lot of comments made during the comment period, and perhaps flesh those out, coordinate, you know, consolidate them in some way better than just what the comment period did, what the comment summary did. So although it is not a PDP at this point, it's the first step of what a PDP might be if we started, and it's a way of trying to understand the issue without making a decision to just formally strike a PDP or not strike a PDP. The views range all over the map. I tend to side with those saying it's been around for 10, 12 years. It's a significant part of our policy process, and it should be reviewed on a regular basis. On the other hand, there is some truth to the fact that opening it is opening a Pandora's box. The one single thing that has not had an awful lot of public comment, but a fair amount of private comment, is the comment from ICANN staff that a work group might not be the right way to do this because if there are not the right people, sufficiently knowledgeable people on it, we could end up with something which is very bad as a result. And I find this a curious statement because although completely true, it is equally true of any PDP, and yet the work group model has effectively been imposed by the board as the model that we use for fixing things. So it's a bit disturbing that staff would say the work group model is not up to the UDRP where it's up to other things. And although this is certainly an exceedingly complex thing, and the lawyers may understand it and the non-lawyers may not understand the subtleties of the process, If work groups are good for everything else, it's not clear why that excuse should be used in this case, or alternately, why we shouldn't use that excuse for saying the work group model is badly flawed and let's not use it anymore. So we have a bit of a controversy here, and this is not the end of it. This discussion will go on, and exactly which direction it will go in, I'm not sure. So the answer to Hong is, I don't know. We haven't heard the end of it, though.
Thank you very much, Alan. Next on my list is Evan Leibovich.
Good morning. This is Evan. Alan, one follow-up to what you were saying before I go on to my original point. While on one hand the issue of staff rejecting something that GNSO puts out is internal to GNSO and perhaps of not total interest to us directly, I've got a concern, considering that we have always, that we have frequently had situations of staff rejecting things that have been put forward, and I have a real concern about the about subscribing to accountability, transparency, and the bottom-up process. If you have something that the community is raising that is being rejected and punted back by staff, I see a bad precedent here. I mean, it's happened to us. It's happening to GNSO. I have a real concern about this, and I'm not sure what to do about it immediately, but it's part of a trend that totally is counter to ICANN's stated principles, and I think something that may need to be addressed. On the issue that I wanted to raise has to do with how fast are they going to be moving on the issue of considerations of rules for CWGs, because there's about to be a new one proposed very quickly. And so I'm curious to know how fast they're moving on how they want to do CWGs, because there's about to be a new one proposed to them.
Okay, first of all, in the UDRP, I object strenuously to the using terms like rejected and punted back. When the issues report is finally issued, and do not believe it has been issued yet, but we'll be talking about what it will likely contain, the concept of the issues report as detailed in the current bylaws and, in fact, the proposed bylaws for PDP gives staff. One of the requirements on staff is to say whether they recommend or do not recommend a PDP. That's not rejection. The bylaws explicitly have different voting thresholds for the GNSO approving a PDP if it was recommended by staff or if it was not recommended by staff. So let's not use the term rejection. It's part of their requirement is to stay whether in their view it is recommended at this point or not. Okay, so you know that's called for. It's requested. It's demanded that they make that judgment call. We don't have to agree with it. There are examples of the GNSO initiating a PDP against recommendations of staff. So let's keep the words on a level basis. We employ policy professionals, and we may not agree with their judgment, but that's part of the process. In terms of the cross-constituency working group, I can't tell you when they're going to report back. There was significant discussion yesterday at the GNSO meeting on whether we need to build a huge set of rules for this new entity, new type of entity, which is not all that new. I pointed out that the ALAC is looking at a lot of the GNSO rules to adopt with whatever changes are appropriate, and the GNSO may want to follow our example of not reinventing the wheel completely but tweaking if necessary. That's number one. There was a reference to the DSSA and the fact that it is a cross-constituency working group that was chartered amiably. And I did point out that that was chartered amiably by an informal group composed largely of the chairs and the vice chairs, which didn't have a charter for that group, which got together and quietly wrote the charter, which was then adopted without change by the organizations that were ultimately comprised the DSSA. And that worked well because the people who did the drafting were trusted to do a good job and factor in the various issues. And surprisingly, although the GNSO tends to like to mold things to the desire of the council, there was a general feeling that maybe this was something which was acceptable, even though the GNSO normally shies away strongly from delegating responsibility to its chairs and vice chairs. So that may end up being a way forward. It may not. There was some light in the tunnel on when that was brought up, and I'd like to say I was the one who brought it up. I didn't think of it, but
okay. I'll be interested for your input when I do a little bit of a report later on, follow up from the consumer issues session, and the action item from that was the CWG.
Actually, and Rosemary did allude to that in her report.
Thank you very much, Alan and Evan, and I open the floor for any more questions on the report. And I gather there are no hands up, so the next person on my list is Cheryl Langdonor for the CCNSO report.
Most unusual. I have a frog in my throat. Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record, and thank you very much for putting up the place and space, which each and every one of you will immediately bookmark and watch for all changes, because that is a liaison report space that is regularly updated. It's updated before each ALAC meeting, and it gets updated between meetings when things happen in the CCNSO world. So if you want to know whatever's happening, if I know about it, and I can say, this page will have a link or information on it, and if you subscribe to changes or to email updates, you'll never be out of date. Now, the detailed summary and report will go here. I'm about to talk to, so if you'll indulge me for just a few moments. And then also note my apologies as I run from the room because I'm already some minutes late for another meeting. The CCNSO met formally over 2 days at this meeting here in... where are we? Oh, yes, that's right. It's Singapore. We had also a one-day tech workshop which ran on Monday. From the reporting and activities that ran on Tuesday, some of the highlights were... Some of the highlights were reporting on the CCNSO work plan, the affirmation of commitment review team update, the ATRT update. We had a very, very rewarding presentation, and the PowerPoints are on the links where it says summaries on and presentations. They're not 100% there, but most of them are live there now, and they're in Creative Commons mode, so you could look at them and use them. There was a very, very interesting presentation from Costa Rica, specifically looking at the lessons learned from their unfortunate security incident, the Japanese experience of earthquake, tsunami and nuclear plant accident from a CCTLD operator's perspective was, to say the least, amazing. There was also the inevitable discussions between ICANN and the CCTLD operators on DNSSEC, anti-phishing, and then a number of reviews from the work teams, which I won't go into, but they are some 9 or 10 other reports. Moving to the Wednesday part of the meeting, and this is where it gets kind of exciting, there was some very, very interesting presentations on the state of nation, I guess, from CCTLD operators, including .sg, our hosts, particularly looking at IDNs in the second level from .my, and I thought that was a very, very interesting issue area to look at. I've got my notes in draft form here, and just on the .my situation, the Malaysia, with their IDN program at the second level, they've overcome considerable technical difficulties and issues, particularly with the script JAWA. Looking at how they did that and looking at what they're hoping to get, which is to get local content being developed in country. I think there's some examples in those models for many emerging and developing economies to look at. The other one that I found absolutely fascinating was from the Faroe Islands. Now, you all know where the Faroe Islands is, don't you? Pop quiz. Who knows where the Faroe Islands is? Hands up. Oh, well done, well done. For the rest of you who are struggling to grab a map, and the CCTLD community actually have a map with all the CCTLDs labelled, so if you find one of these, grab it, put it in your handbag, commit it to memory. It's how I learn how to spell country names like Namibia, as I just had to type a moment ago. We actually have the Faroe Islands. They're 18 islands in the middle of the North Atlantic Ocean, and I mean in the middle of the North Atlantic Ocean. They have a 50,000 population. They are a self-governing part of the Kingdom of Denmark. and they have some enormous lessons for us all to learn from IPv6 and DNSSEC, and most importantly, I suppose, the advantages and the disadvantages and how one can look at when you need to liberalise your country code rules and regulations and why you need to liberalise them. They're taking an exciting approach of modernisation at the back end of their registry, but they're also looking at the fact that you still need to front up with a passport and a form of identity and prove who you are, and then prove whether or not you do or don't have the right to the name. If you do have the right to the name and it's clear, it's fast-tracked. If you don't, there's a process. And I actually think that's a very interesting model for some of us to look at. They then went on, and I unfortunately needed to leave the room at this point, so I have someone who will be getting back to me, but .TV also reported, and I look forward to seeing what they had to say. Then we followed with .UK, .CD. There was an AFRI TLD and an AP TLD update. But just before I close, the council meeting, which I also attended... Oh, sorry, I missed something terribly important. They did this little panel thing. It was very, very worthwhile, and I won't report on that because, in fact, Olivier sat on that panel, and if I could pump that over to you, because, as you know, that was part of the plot time when I wasn't in the room, all I heard was how rewarding it was, how useful it was, how much information was shared. So I might leave that to you. But from the important announcements part that I believe is kind of exciting, actually, in the council meeting, having had ratification all in the affirmative for three new CCNSO members from the CCTLD community. The council approved yesterday both .GG and .JE. They are Guernsey and Jersey from the Channel Islands, so that's a huge welcome to two new members of the CCNSO community. There is, in principle support and no impediment, a third one, .NA, Namibia, which is why I had to look up my map so I spelt it properly, is to be accepted as a member. There was a small administration hiccup where the cover letter associated with the application had not been circulated to councillors. So that will have been circulated after the council meeting, and we can be pretty assured that we now have three new CC members. That is .GG, .JE and .NA. And I think this means we're living in very exciting times where all parts of the ICANN community are growing to both big and small countries. I open for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And before opening the floor for questions, I just wanted to say a couple of words about the session that took place yesterday. It was a session on GGTLDs. Now, GGTLDs are GeoGTLDs. They are about to come upon us because they are those geographic locations that have names of towns, places, etc. And the main set of questions included whether those GGTLDs would be subjected to the same type of rules and specifications as CCTLDs, whether the service provided by the registrars and registries around the GGTLDs would need to be the same as other places, what was the legal framework, etc., etc. So very interesting session, a lot of different viewpoints in there, and certainly much anticipation in the launch of those new GGTLDs. Now, any questions on the CCNSO report by Cheryl? The floor is open. Well, I see no hands up, which means you've probably submitted a very comprehensive report. So thank you very much, Cheryl. And now looking down my list, we have three other
liaisons, the first one being SAC, Patrick van der Valle. I'm not quite sure whether he is. Is he online, or has anyone taken on the... No? Edmund? Edmund Chung?
Yeah, thank you, Olivier. This is Edmund. I just want to say if we are going through the IDN liaison report, I'd like to go first.
You're anticipating at the moment where
I want to go first because I think, with Cheryl, I need to leave to the IDN CCPDP.
CDDP. Okay, yes. Move. Okay, IDN liaison, Edmund Chung, please.
Thank you. Thank you. Actually, I just sent it to the Skype as well, and I was anticipating I might run out of time. But anyway, so the three areas that IDNs are being discussed more, I guess, more vigorously, the IDN VIP, the Variant Issues Project, at the JIG, the Joint CCNSO, GNSO IDN Working Group, and the IDN CCPDP, which is the CCNSO PDP for a long-term IDN. Right now it's the fast-track IDN. So I guess I'll start with the third one. The third one is IDN CCBDP, which is restarting. It was sort of suspended in observation of what the IDN VIP is going to be doing, but it is being restarted now, and the meeting is happening as we speak. It's starting as we speak, and I'll move to that after my report. On the IDN VIP, that's the Variant Issues Project, the six study groups were created. I think a number of us are already on those teams. The aim is to produce the respective report, the six reports, by the end of September, and then to combine those reports and produce a final issues report by December. That's the current target. And in the earlier meeting with Dennis, which is coordinating the group here, afterwards, well, I raised the issue of whether myself as the ALAC IDN liaison should be there, be on the study teams as an observer. He felt that it was generally acceptable for me to be on those, but he didn't feel that it was necessary to formalize it. I am already on all of the study teams as wearing my different hat as a co-chair from the JIG. So in terms of the JIG, that's the Joint IDN Working Group between CCs and Gs, the work is continuing. We are coordinating the work between the IDN VIP and some work with the IETF. And another item for the JIG is that the charter right now comes to a conclusion in a way, because it was predicated upon the approval of the new GTLD applicant guidebook. But there is also a provision that if both the CCNSO Council and the GNSO Council agrees, it will extend, continue its work. So that is underway, and I think the general feeling is that both councils would like the JIG to continue its work for the remainder of the remaining two items that were identified as issues of common interest, one being IDN-TLD variants, the other being universal acceptance of IDN-TLDs. Especially on the universal acceptance of IDN-TLDs, I'd like to use this opportunity to urge more people from this community to participate, because it is less about policy development, but more about outreach and how we're going to do that. This is going to be an opportunity to rally, I guess, both the Gs and the CCs to join forces to ask ICANN to put some more resources into talking about this issue and educating essentially the world about this issue, because as new GTLDs come into play, and this time, this is the universal acceptance of TLDs usually is only a G issue, it is now also a CCTLD issue with the introduction of IDN CCTLDs. So it is a very good opportunity for us to join in and talk about all the issues and rally the Gs and the CCs on this work. So this is, again, the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. And hopefully, you know, if anyone wants to participate in the discussion, just send me over Skype or over email, and we'll add you to the mailing list. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Edmund. Any questions from the floor? I see.
We're moving in Asia, aren't we? We are just so. They just understand everything we say.
Right, we do have some interference from someone who's currently being taken out of the room.
Taken.
Security, please. Next, we have the GNSO, NCSG liaison, Bo Brendler, for a small, short report, please. Bo.
Everybody knows the NCSG is now, in essence, made up of, or is supposedly going to be made up of, three constituencies. Two of them are established. One of them is the NCUC, and the other one is the NPOC, which stands for Nonprofit Operations Constituency, which is run by Deborah Hughes of the Red Cross, and which is evolving into something of a trademark protection endeavor for nonprofits. And then there's the consumer constituency, which I think everybody here, or most people here, know. I've been trying to get off the ground for 3 years. So the board supposedly is taking up validating the NPOC charter, possibly the NCUC charter. But the NCSG's charter has yet to be ratified, and that has some relationship to whether or not the consumer constituency's charter gets ratified. If this all sounds like a lot of process gobbledygook, you're right. There's not a lot of policy discussion happening really at all, except peripherally. Some of you may have attended the workshop that Rosemary Sinclair of the GNSO ran yesterday. Other than that, basic NCSG news, there was an election for the board seat that the NCSG holds. The incumbent, a guy from Canada, Bill Graham, won another term. Konstantinos Kamaitis is now the chairman of the NCUC, which you probably already know. Other than that, there does not really appear to be a great deal of news outside the continuing attempts to establish the constituencies within the non-commercial stakeholder group, or NCSG, also called the non-commercial house. And if that's not confusing, well, anyway, if anybody has any questions about that or doesn't understand it, please email me and I'll attempt to explain it to you.
Thank you very much, Bo. Any questions? It looks like there aren't any. So next we have the report from the RALO chairs, and we will start with, who should we start with, AP RALO?
Thank you, Chairman. Charles, Charles Mark for the record. A quick report about ourselves and what we've recently done in at this particular meeting. I happen actually to be the third chair of AP RALO within one calendar year, and I was just elected to fill the position in May with a very big shoe to fill from Hong, who is unfortunately unable to continue to serve as our chair. But thank you for her service over the past just almost 1 year. The biggest issue that we face is on continuity and stability. And while we currently have 21 ALS members, But the fact is that we have a large continent, and we have more than 70 countries in our continent, and that means that our representation in terms of the number of countries with ALS is actually still relatively small. And in fact, some countries or regions have more than one ALS among our list. So in fact, we do need to expand on our reach, on our outreach work quite significantly. And in the past, under a system that Hong helped us develop, our two vice chairmen split their responsibilities on outreach and policy. And unfortunately, this time, both of our vice chairmen cannot join this particular meeting. And this actually is also a it's also a reflection on the fact that even though because of the size and travel distance and so on with our continent, in fact, having a meeting being held in our region doesn't necessarily mean that we will get a bigger representation at the ICANN meeting. But I'm happy to still report that we just have two new ALS members that are newly added to our list, being ISOC Kolkata chapter in India, and also NetMission.Asia from Hong Kong. In fact, with the support of Doc Asia organization, more than 10 of these young people came to the ICANN meeting, funded partially by Doc Asia, and also they came over here last week for the Asia Pacific Regional IGF, which is held for the second year in a row in Asia. And probably that might have set a record from for participation from one single ALS in Asia, the number of people attending, as well as maybe for APRALO in particular, in general. So I think one thing that we will look to the future to focus on is to increase the participation of our ALS members and volunteers and so on. We have been making an effort to try to promote and recruit more new ALSs, warming some new ties, and promoting or in-reaching or outreaching to them at various other events, including, for example, recently in February in Hong Kong, we had an Apricot APAN meeting with 1,500 attendees and so on. So we will continue to make use of these opportunities to get the word out. Last but not least, we had an APRALO showcase on Monday that was smoothly held with a lot of great support from staff. Unfortunately, again, because of schedule, probably the time that we chose, which was the best time when we chose it, was too obviously too good to be true, because in the end, I can't put in the new GTLD updates at the same time time slot. So I wish that our attendance would be bigger, better, but I think it was a good show. And we had it live cast and also put on the web right now, and I'm seeing emails from other people saying that they have been watching or listening to the audio cast and have been quite impressed by it, particularly the speeches that was given by Dr. Ang of Singapore and Rajneesh Singh, our first APRALO chairman. So looking to the future, I think we will continue to focus on getting volunteers' participation and raising the awareness about ICANN and APRALO in our region. And I believe with the new GTLD program now set in place, we are getting more attention, and this will actually be a good opportunity as well as a challenge for us, because questions will be streaming in from the community, people that weren't aware or have never heard of ICANN before, and now they're saying, what what are you doing, you know, giving me all these troubles or opportunities with all these new domain names? What is it all about? So we actually will be trying to set up some programs, hopefully within Asia, and we'll start with Hong Kong, you know, where I am easier, with trying to promote or inform the public about what the new GTLD is all about, you know, regardless of what support or programs ICANN will be able to give us in future. There are also new opportunities for us to get a number of new ALS members, including happily to report Dr. Ang, who gave the keynote speech at our APRILO showcase, has just formed and been approved with the formation of ISOC Singapore. And so some of these major Asian internet economies around, for example, like Singapore, Malaysia, Philippines, and so on, we actually don't have any representation within APRILO for these countries. And that hopefully we'll be able to change it in the coming year. So that's about all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Charles, for this very comprehensive report. Certainly very, very good to see so many young people in the APRILO region and coming over here. It was heartwarming to see that. And well done for the APRILO showcase, which was really, really great. And I think we all really enjoyed it. So thank you. Right, next we can move on to the AFRILO report. I will ask if we can make it a little bit short because we are a little bit late at the moment in our schedule. So I'd appreciate, please. And I was going to actually say, do we have any questions? But what I'll do is to take all of the reports and then I'll ask if there are any questions regarding any of the reports which are given. Thank you.
Merci. Thank you, Olivier. I'm going to speak in French. Please introduce yourself. I'm Aziz Lali. I'm the secretary for AFRIL. I'm going to begin by speaking about the ALS, which was proposed to us 11 months ago. It's forecast in Congo. And after some discussion and exchanges of email, we decided to advise ALAC to accept this request. We could give more details. I can give more details if there are questions. Second point, this concerns the budget that we requested from ICANN. Unfortunately, we spoke several times about this by telephone, and we are a little bit disappointed that this request was not accepted by ICANN. It's actually two budgets, one for workshops that we wanted to organize for Dakar, and another concerned the meeting of IGF, where we proposed to AFRILO that we'd have a workshop, and that was accepted. We hope to do it, even if the financing was not granted. Second, third point concerning regional activity, we have been used to, during ICANN meeting, to have a meeting with the African community, and there was one yesterday here in Singapore where we spoke. Several people here were present at that meeting, and we were making recommendations for the summit, the ministerial summit that will take place just before the ICANN meeting in Dakar. We also discussed about teleconference calls about because we will have to give a showcase next time in Dakar, and we are going to try to succeed in that effort. Remind you that AFRILO was the first to give a showcase at Nairobi, and today we've gone around to all the five regions have done a showcase, and so it's our turn again in Dakar. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Thank you.
We'll move quickly to EURALO next.
Thanks, Olivier. This is Wolf Ludwig, chair of Euralo. Well, let's say there was quite a lot happening over the last couple of weeks and months in Euralo. I will try my best to keep it as short as possible. We finally had a new round of votations on our bylaws, suggesting three modifications to our bylaws. The first modification is to include individual members into Euralo, what was discussed since a couple of years, and we had to finally do it. The second amendment was the possibility to have a term extension of RALO officers and board members. And the third one is to align URALO election terms with ALEC terms. And we finally, at the end of May, could realize that we could do all three amendments. What was approved by a vast majority of our members, we needed a two-third quorum as a minimum to have these bylaw modifications accepted, and we had much more. So we could do this successfully, and we had 1 week later our fourth Euralo General Assembly in line with the European Dialogue on Internet Governance, what took place at the end of May in Belgrade. And what was a good opportunity to have our General Assembly back to back with this Eurodic, which became now one of the, let me say, biggest fora for internet governance in Europe, with more than 500 participants. A lot of from Euralo actively participated in this event, like Olivier, Sandra, and I, and well, we had some re-elections of the Euralo leadership, the chair and the secretariat, and our board members, and well, we had quite a busy time, but busy time sometimes is also can also be productive, and we had some close relations with many of our members again, what I always appreciate. I think that's more or less all. If somebody else from Euralo, our outgoing secretary, will come back to this point later. Olivier can add something, and I will introduce Oksana now. Oksana is, as many of you know, Olivier is the outgoing secretary since our General Assembly. Oksana is the incoming secretary for Euralo. She's representing a new ALS, the European Media Platform from the Ukraine. And she helped us a lot to get better known in Eastern European country, what is very essential to me to improve our outreach in the Eastern countries. And I'm glad to have Oksana on board because she is fluent in Russian and all these languages needed. And I think she is a perfect complement to strengthen the Euralo work in the next year. So, welcome Oksana on board.
Thank
Right. Thank you very much, Wolf. And Rod Bäckström, President and CEO of ICANN, has come into the room. And I think that in order to not move his schedule too much, we might wait and move the Lakrallo and Narrallo reports until after Rod's visit. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, and honored to be here, Olivier, and thank you, Cheryl, thank you, Evan, and thank all of you for what you do in guiding and leading and developing ALAC. And with the launch of the new GTLD program, it's obviously an exciting moment for all of us. We do also know you registered concerns early on in the process, and at the same time, many also constructive comments, and really appreciate your help now on the JAS working group, as well as, I guess, the ALAC working team. I think that's the right language. Is that correct? On developing countries, needy applicants.
No, it's the Joint Applicant Support Group, I believe.
Right. There's a Joint Applicant Support Working Group, or yeah. JAS Working Group, and there's also an ALAC-GAC working team, isn't there? Or is there not an ALAC?
Also, yeah, there are a lot of teams all over
okay.
the place, but yes.
Yes. Okay.
On top of that.
So anyway, and it's great to be here in lovely Singapore with you. Also, just want to recognize your tremendous productivity this year. I believe that ALAC has issued 16 policy statements so far this year, and I think that's a record by far by this time. So clearly, you're upping your level of policy engagement and advice to the board and the community, and that's really appreciated. And also just want to congratulate you for having, I think, what, 134 at-large structures?
That's right, yes. We've had the last four, and that's actually a confirmation since we voted for them on, was it the Tuesday session? So, yes, 1, 3, 4.
Sure. And I understand that each of your at-large structures may have different views on whether they want to participate in a new GTLD outreach or not, but to the extent any structures do, please let our communications group know, so they can take that into consideration. They'll assume you're not interested unless you indicate that you are interested. But that's a potential opportunity.
Yes, there is a mixed set of views. Some ALSs wish to take part in outreach, but there's of course a difference between outreach and marketing, and it really depends on the local topology. In some areas, of course, in the developing world, outreach is particularly important, and so the new GTLD program will certainly be pushed a lot. Evan Libovich.
Hi, Rod. I think some of the issues are different for us because we're sort of at the bottom of the food chain. This is, you know, not registrants. This is end users. It's not like they need to be promoted to buy new domains. So our challenge is different. Our challenge is the new TLDs are coming. Lots more new domains are coming. How does this affect you?
Sure.
And what do you need to know going forward? So I think our message is less of a promotional one and more of an educational one. That is, what does the internet using world have to deal with now that there's going to be this huge expansion of domain names out there? So I'm just saying there's a subtlety in the difference to our approach, since we're not talking to registrants, we're not talking to people of, you know, what's your choice in buying domain names, because our population isn't buying domain names. They're using it. And so our message, I think, has a subtly different feel to it.
Evan, I very much appreciate that clarification. Just one minor comment I would have is we're not promoting the program either. We're communicating and educating. We're not advocating that people apply for these. We simply want to make sure that organizations know how the program works and that it's available so that people have a good opportunity of access if they wish it. But I fully understand your point that you're mostly focused on the consumers and end users and who could be users of the system, you know, once it rolls out, and not potential applicants.
Thank you very much. And in fact, there's already a waiting list for questions. So we'll go quickly through the list. First, Carlton, and then Alan, and then Dave Kissendoyle. But first, Carlton.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to two things. It's interesting that the CEO recognizes the amount of work that is coming out of the ILAC in terms of policy statement 16, and that's a good thing, because would you know that there are members of our own community who continue to say that we have not done anything all year. So it's very interesting, because those 16 statements actually relate to probably no more than 3 or 4 persons taking the lead on those statements, and it involves tens of hours of research and reading materials to get those statements out. So it's interesting that you recognize that there's some work being done and all that. That said, there is, in the at large, a distinction to be made between marketing and outreach that should not be lost with the communications department of ICANN corporate. And where we would excel and where we would wish to see the at-large go is in the outreach direction. That means that the way that collateral is developed and the way collateral is positioned is very important to the outreach objective. So I'm glad to hear you say that we can interact with the communications department and try to make common purpose with them. But as part of that, I just wanted to let you understand, and you could probably, through your good offices, pass it on, that the perspective at outreach may require some rework of some collateral, and we are very willing to help with that. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Carlton. And also wanted to mention the marketing communications plan specifically for the new GTLD program has been posted online and is open for public comment. So if in the context of that plan you have any specific suggestions, please provide your input. I also want to thank you personally, I think, Carlton. I believe you were one of the respondents to the NTIA NOI. Is that correct? So I want to thank you and thank ALAC as well. I know it took a lot of hard work for ALAC to, I'm sure, to synthesize a view on your position on the NTIA NOI response. But I thought you had an excellent response, and I very much appreciate your taking the time to do that. And it's clearly up to you, but obviously we would be very happy to see if you had a response to the FNOI as well, whether you know individually through your own organizations or chapters or through ALAC as a whole. But we're very happy to see ALAC standing up and making very clear its position on the global stage. So I just wanted to thank ALAC in general, and thank you, Carlin, in particular, for providing your response.
Thank you very much, Rod. Next we have Alan.
Thank you. Two comments.
And if I may just add also for transcripting purposes and obviously
Alan
for
Greenberg,
the interpreters.
Yeah. Liaison from the ALAC to the GNSO.
Okay, well, that's a bit more information than what we need, but
On new TLDs, we've just alluded to, but we haven't had a lot of talk within ICANN, on one of the significant impacts of new TLDs, and that's going to be what I would label as mass confusion among a fair number of the less technically alert people who are among the several billion people who use the internet. If you remember when people started using ccTLDs, there was an inclination that if I said my ccTLD was mcgill.ca, someone would implicitly type in mcgill.ca.com, because obviously I just left off the ending of every TLD. And I think we're going to see similar things like that. And I don't know how we do what we do about that, but I think we have to be aware of it, that not everyone is waiting for the new TLDs and think they're the things, the greatest things around. They're going to be confused by them when they start appearing for the first time. So I hope our communications program will factor in that kind of thought. With regard to all the work we've been doing, we still have a significant problem in terms of getting more people involved in each of these statements. You know, each of the statements tend to be crafted by one or more people. There is input from a number of people. We cannot say that each of them has gone all the way down to the bottom of the food chain within at large and come back up and been impacted by it. There are certainly people who would like to see that happen more, and as would we all. And I'd just like to tie that to the discussions we've been having over budget and outreach and regional assemblies and things like that. The way we get people involved on a more day-to-day basis is by familiarizing them with what we do and why we do it. And the two are tied together. It's not just that we like having parties. So as we go forward over the next couple of years, I think it's important to keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Yeah, I hear both the points. First, one on the issue of how do we help educate end users and consumers on these new offerings and sort of prepare them so they can be, sophisticated or aware or knowledgeable consumers in part so they don't fall prey to anything, right? I think is a really good point. And again, if there's any I believe the communications plan is focused in part of the general public as well. We want applicants to know that the system, potential applicants, that the program is available, but also to help the public understand it. As you have seen already, there's been a tsunami of social media and press hits on just what happened here Monday. It's kind of quite surprising to us, the level of interest, spreading both some information and some disinformation about the program as people speculate, you know, on what it means. So I think it's a really significant communications challenge for all of us. We appreciate your help. And again, any input on the plan, please feel free to give it. On the question of further, you know, volunteer engagement, I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts or the group's thoughts on, you know, what's the secret to doing that? I mean, I think a lot of the SOs and ACs are struggling with this, right? That it tends to be a few people that put their hands on the rows, row the boat, put their hands in the oars, excuse me, and row really hard. And there's other people that help from time to time. But part of building the strength is getting a, you know, good ratio of rowers to other participants and encouragers and those that help bring the boats to the water and prepare the boats and encourage the team, et cetera. But, and you mentioned, you know, more travel or more events to engage some of that. But I'd just be curious to hear how you've looked at that over the history of ALAC. Because my sense is you're getting more productive, so at least that's very impressive to see from the outside. But, you know, it's great to hear the issues you're facing on the inside, too.
I believe Alan has an answer for that. Alan?
Yeah, on both points. In terms of consumer education, do remember that that's something that's going to become relevant towards the end of 2012, and we need to time it so that, you know, it's not long forgotten by the time it's relevant to these people. In terms of how do we get people involved, you know, we are a little bit different. That if you look in within the other constituencies, registrars, for instance, you know, there are some who are involved because they're big players. There are others who are involved because it's either something that they feel is interesting and it's a payback to the community, or it just happens to intrigue them. Our groups are different in that the first issue is education of who we are, why we are, why they should bother. They don't have any money in the game, to be blunt. So it's a different sort of issue in getting these people, and it's going to be a lot harder. You know, for every 1,000 people you talk to, you're going to get fewer people who say, yeah, I'm willing to slave away for no money and you know, that kind of thing. So it's a different sort of game, and I think I don't think the rules that work in the registrar or registry constituency or the intellectual property lawyers are going to work for us. It is really a different game.
Thank you, Alan. Evan Libovich has got a couple more things to add.
The big difference, and this is just to keep going a little bit on what Alan said, is that registrars, registries, civil society, ISPs, they know where to find ICANN. Nobody has to tell them why they want to be here. Our challenge is, as Alan was saying, literally going out into the public, grabbing people by the throat, trying to make ICANN relevant to them, and this is a task. And without belaboring the whole going back into the fiscal year budgeting stuff, I want to, at a very high level, express what seemed to be a disjoint between the strategic plan and the budgetary results that we saw coming back. And that the strategic plan says all the right things about outreach, about getting out there, about putting the word out. But when At Large came back with a whole pile of ideas of how to do that, we came back, the response that came back said on almost anything that had to do with external outreach, it said the priority is on re-engaging people that are already here. And that was actually a line item that was put in the spreadsheet that in response to the requests. Now, we are very familiar with the term inreach, and that keeping volunteers engaged once they're here is a challenge unto itself. However, when we see the strategic plan saying outreach and getting out there and finding people that wouldn't normally know what ICANN is, let alone get involved with us, and turning that into action. And this has had all sorts of, every single region came in with really, really good ideas. And the fact that as almost as a group, they were rejected in saying, right now our focus is on engaging existing people that are already here, that really shows at a high level a sort of disjoint between the strategic plan and what came back to us as we engaged in the budget process.
And Evan, if I can ask, because I don't know, where do you think that feedback came? Was that from other members in the community or other groups in the strategic planning process? Or
which feedback do you mean?
The feedback that we want to focus more on engaging the people that are already involved.
That was actually statements that were in the return spreadsheet to us when the projects were rejected. This isn't rumor or anything. This is actual statements that came back.
So you're saying you feel it came from staff, from staff it feedback, not from
Absolutely.
Okay.
The spreadsheet that came back to us, accepted, accepted, rejected, rejected, and all that, in the explanation for the rejection, every single rejection that had to do with outreach activities had a line associated with it, right now our priority is on reengaging existing communities.
Interesting. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I think the other thing that would be interesting, and maybe you've already done this and I'm not aware of it, because I mean the beautiful thing about the ICANN, you know, starfishy, highly decentralized, you know, model is there's so much going on. I have to admit, as CEO, I'm aware of only a fraction of what's happening and trying to do, you know, my best as a servant to keep the organization moving, to support the community and react, and also to execute the programs. But are there metrics that you use or you have of sort of what the return on the various outreach efforts and various expenditures and projects and programs? Or is it just kind of a general sense that they're good and they yield a harvest? Or is there some way that we can develop, or ALAC has metrics or could develop metrics to better inform this discussion?
The one metric that I know is clear is that there's a goal within ALAC to have, within At Large, to have at least one ALS in every country in the world. That we're still quite a way from reaching that goal, but that's one metric that's very clear and very gaping as we look at all the holes in what is not involved with us.
Great. And where do we? I know you have 134 structures, but I think in the United States, for example, there's more than one in the U.S. I'm a member of the San Francisco Bay ISOC chapter, and I think there's others. How many countries are we in right now, roughly, or if that's a metric we're tracking?
Okay. I think we were looking about 70-something.
just remembering vaguely what we said in San Francisco, so around 70-ish. Okay, thank you, Evan. Next person on the list is Dave Kissendoyle.
Yeah, Dave Kissendoyle for the record. Speaking on behalf of APRALU. Yesterday we had a very successful AfriICAN meeting, and then one of the discussions we had was new GTLDs and support for needy applicants in Africa. We see that, okay, the new GTLDs will create a lot of opportunities, especially in Africa, and it will have, like, it is an opportunity for Africa. So we take this is a reason we are looking for ways and means. When I say ways and means, I'm referring to the project that we submitted in the budget. Ways and means to reach, to do outreach activities, to reach the maximum number of ALSs. But unfortunately, the budget has not been approved for that. I think that, okay, outreach activities is important, especially in Africa, where we know that ICANN is not that popular, that well known. So we have a lot of work to be done in Africa. On a separate note, the proposed summit for the developing countries, which we discussed yesterday also, I think this also will be an opportunity to promote, to enhance the participation of the African community within the ICANN process. Okay, thank you.
Great. Well, thank you for your efforts there, and appreciate your continued advocacy for ICANN and ALAC in Africa. Africa is a particular challenge, right, given the span of the continent, and I don't know, what is it, 54, 56 countries, and for example, we only have one staff member, focused on all of that, and some other international organizations have multiple offices and lots of people. So it really is, a resource challenge for us. And thank you for your advocacy, David.
Yeah, one of the discussions we had also is that, okay, as part of the outreach activities, our ALSs are going to meet the government officials, the governments, and then ask them to join the GAC.
Excellent. That would be very welcome. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And next on the list is Tijani Benjema.
Merci.
Thank you. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Mute.
Okay, very well. Very good. You said, are our projects have a return on investment, or is there a feeling that this is coming to fruition or not? Last year at IGF, AFRALU did organize a workshop about ICANN AFRALU. ICANN organized. ICANN didn't spend any money, but did organize. This workshop was very, very successful, and I think you had a return about it. You heard about it. It worked very well. Many people here present can tell you how much of a success this workshop was. This type of activity has a strong return on investment because, as you know, ICANN does not only have friends, some people are against ICANN. We have to be aware of it. Some people don't like ICANN. And sometimes we talk about the multi-stakeholder program, and they listen to us. They say we're just doing some marketing. We have to show them, we have to prove to them that we're a multi-stakeholder organization. ICANN is not the board, it's the community, the ICANN community. I think it's a great return on investment, and I can tell you that people are very excited and they don't want to leave the room at that workshop, and I think that ICANN can get a lot from these type of workshops, and I am absolutely excited about the fact that ICANN is not aware of the importance of those actions for the communication. We need some more communication activities for ICANN. We requested to have another IGF workshop this year, and it's very hard to get a workshop at IGF. This year we did provide a request, and we are going to have a workshop at the IGF. We might be in trouble with financing, though.
Thank you very much for the success of that AFRILA workshop, and that sounds like a great example of the benefit coming from doing this education. And to the extent we can get data in terms of how many new members of ALAC or structures or engagement that could be helpful, but that sounds like exactly the kind of successful case story that's really valuable, and I'm excited to hear that you're working on the IGF workshop as well. So thank you so much for
thank
all of your
you.
Efforts.
Thank you very much. We are running out of time, and I just wanted to touch on one last question, which was on our agenda, the ALAC-initiated policy topics. Traditionally, ALAC has been responsive to policy comment periods, to various subjects always being brought up, and ALAC being reactive to it. The question that we have for you is whether you see ALAC as being more proactive in its comments and in its activity. Recently, a future challenges of ALAC working group has been started and is actually chaired by Jean-Jacques Subrenat. And so the question really is, how receptive is ICANN to ALAC-initiated, and we mean it's not only policy topics, but commenting on anything that takes place in the ICANN sphere.
I can certainly say, as CEO, I'm extremely open. I mean, you know, my job is to try to be, you know, a servant and a steward to make sure that the staff and the organization is providing the support to the community that the community wants and is delivering on the programs the community approves through the strategic plan and the operating plan and the budgets. And so my own views on the multi-stakeholder model is it seems rich and it seems diverse, it seems to have a lot of healthy tensions, seems to have a lot of healthy inputs. And I think what's exciting about ICANN and what ALAC and others bring to it is it's constantly evolving. And I have no opinion whatsoever about how ALAC should or should not evolve. I'm more a curious student and a servant, so that if you decided where you want to go, then I will, you know, watch that and witness that, and hopefully our staff helps to support your deliberations around that. But I have absolutely no fixed opinions, because that's not my job. Now, if you wanted to have my opinions as sort of an individual brainstorming exercise, I might enjoy the discussion, but I think it would be inappropriate for the CEO of ICANN to have a view of what any SO or AC should do. It's just not the role. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just, Alan, you just wanted to add if it's going to be a very short comment or question on this specifically.
It's a very short comment, and I am explicitly not asking for a comment, because a comment from you on what my comment is probably completely inappropriate. I'll just note that in our discussion with the board yesterday, when we raised a related subject, I won't say we were slapped down, but it was pretty close, you know, getting a message, feeling back. The board was not particularly interested in us investigating new areas and things like that. So I appreciate your answer, and we will continue working on the other side.
Thank you very much, Alan, and thank you very much, Rod Beckstrom. We'll let you go now. Thanks.
I thank all of you. Thank you for the time. Thank you for everything you do. You're amazing.
Right. Well, returning to our original schedule, we still have to do our report from RALO chairs, and I believe we have now reached LAC RALO. So, Latin America, please.
Thank you, Chair. David Antilak Singh.
Since San Francisco, Aquila submitted comments to the notice of inquiry on the NTIA. We've also begun testing the email translation list. Many of the bugs identified in from San Francisco were squashed, and there were also elections of both the chair and the secretariat, which Andres Piazza and myself were returned as chair and secretariat, respectively. I'm just going to just scroll up here. We've been having a lot of discussion regarding inactive ELSs and how to treat inactive ELSs, and also trying to get ELSs involved in Lacroix and in the ICANN policy discussions. This has culminated in a summary document that was presented to the RALO secretariats regarding how to deal with such inactive ELSs. We have also received a new ELS application request from AGEA Dense Colombia, and the regional advice for this should be presented shortly. And also, we submitted extensive comments on the FY12 operating plan and budget, and we see most of our comments were incorporated in the final ELAC statement. Also regarding the progress of the translation of the email list, there was a breakdown of the translation during the month of May, and it really disrupted our online communications because emails were not being read by other members of the list and so forth, and it was a real breakdown. And that lasted, three weeks, which was really not good. So the new translation list that was developed by ICANN staff has now been put in place, and which has featured some improvements. Although I note that while we seem to have crossed that hurdle, unfortunately, there's now a new hurdle ahead that Google, since the new translation engine is based on Google, and Google has announced it's going to discontinue support for its translations APIs by the end of the year. So we're going to have to look at another solution by then. So
not necessarily, it might still be available. They're just not supporting
it. Maybe, but anything else? I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Devan and Tilling Singh. And we'll go to the Naralo report with Bo Brendler. Bo.
Thank you, Olivier. Darlene wishes she could be here. I believe she's convalescing from cold that's come on for her. So I will give the report that she largely put together. NIRALO has has members on each of the remaining work teams for at-large improvements, Future Challenges Working Group, the Jazz Working Group, and our work is progressing on all of these. I was working a bit with Dev the last couple of days on helping on some of the consumer documents for Work Team D and things like that, so we're playing a role in that. We're also playing key roles throughout the at-large policy development processes, helping to drive issues such as registrants' rights, bringing good sense to the new GTLD process, and holding ICANN accountable for enforcement activities. NARALO has submitted, as we know, a range of budget requests for the region for next year, intended to increase visibility, participation, and outreach. These others I have added. Actually, we took consensus on making an NARALO statement on potential consumer concerns regarding pre-registrations and the offers some registrars were making. However, the ICANN board vote on the new GTLT program on Monday in Singapore has prompted us to reevaluate the statement to determine if it is still applicable. A couple of other things. We evaluated our policy within the NARALO on mailing list communications after what I characterized as some heavy kibitzing on the new GTLD issue that borderlined, in my opinion, on abuse. And in consultation with staff, I took some action that I believe was relatively well regarded and that we got some feedback on and helped us to further establish communications policy, if you will, on the NA RALO list. And actually, as of this morning, a member of NA RALO has filed something of a formal complaint about the lack of an ALEC quorum at one of the meetings the last couple days. I was here at the time, but I can't remember which meeting it was, and has asked ICANN to withhold travel funding until it self-polices this issue. So I just wanted to bring that up as a heads up. Evan alerted me to it. So that's the stuff that we've been working on since San Francisco.
Thank you very much, Bo. And now I open the floor for questions and comments on all of the RALO reports. And I see Cheryl has got her hand up. So, Cheryl Langdonor.
Thank you very much, Cheryl Langdonor, for the record. Bo, by incorporating individual members, or perhaps not individual members, but an individual person in Narala, I'm not sure about the member statuses, note to the abuse of community travel support guidelines, are we to take from that that it's only a heads up or that there is considerable concern in the region from these issues? If you'd clarify that, I think that'd be very useful for me at least.
No. this is Bo Brenner again. I'm not aware of any widespread concern in the region. The complaint was from an individual who is fairly well known to all of us. It's you'll see it on the list. It's from Danny Younger, who keeps track of these sorts of things to some level of detail. So it's not a widespread concern in the region that I'm aware of, but this is in the form of a written complaint, so it's going to, show up.
Just a small follow-up, Cheryl Langdonor, for the record. The reason I wanted to ask that is that the Executive Committee, obviously, and the ALAC certainly have not discussed or responded to this as yet. But one of the things I was planning on bringing forward is a formal response, either from the ALAC or the EXCOM, to deal with what is in some ways a perspective on issues as opposed to a factual record of what is meant and what happens. I'd point out that, of course, we did reach quorum, as Danny actually noted, but there was also some extenuating circumstances which have only been recently brought to light for some members not to be in the room, including serious illness. So I think what we need to do is respond in fact, and I wanted to know whether it was going to be just a matter of us responding with our factual reply to this list or also to Narala formally. So I just wanted to make sure that we had that pathway clear, because this has got to be done relatively promptly. Thank you.
Just in brief response, I hesitated to bring it up just given the fact that I'm the chair of the NA RALO. I figured it was necessary, but I hesitated to bring it up, but, it is anytime you see something written down, it will take a life of, or it can take a life of its own, and, it's a bureaucratic fact of life.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments on the RALO reports? Tijani Benjamin.
Merci, Olivier.
Thank you, Olivier. Two things. Yesterday we had the meeting at RALO, ICANN, and we went quite late, and I forgot to thank the interpreters. I would like to thank the interpreters now. And, yes, and second point, ALS did have a request, and I'm going to ask staff if they got that request and if the due diligence started.
From Burkina Faso. Not that I know of, but I can look into it and get back to you.
And that was Matt Ashtiani speaking. Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions? Or Devon Antilak Singh.
Thank you, Chair. Devon Antilak Singh. This is more for a question for Uralo. You mentioned that you did bylaw modifications. I don't know if there's time enough for this, but I mean, I guess I would like to ask how that was done, because we are also looking to update our bylaws. Discussions are continuing on the concepts of it, but I just wanted to know whether was it approved in one motion? Was it done at a face-to-face General Assembly when the vote was taken, or a virtual General Assembly?
Thank you, Dave. Do we have an answer for this? Cheryl?
I'd like to know which bylaw modifications we're talking about, seeing as I came in at the very end of these reports. Thank you.
Dev?
With regards to the Lakwala bylaw modifications, we've been having discussions regarding how to deal with inactive ALSs. So that was one aspect, which is now being treated at the VALO level to try to get consistency as to the concepts to deal with that. Okay, so that's one aspect. The second aspect was the increase in the terms of the chairs, the length of the terms of the chairs for the... Sorry, let me start over again. Increasing the length of the term for the chair and the secretariat from 1 year to 2 years, and also including a proviso that no person can serve more than two consecutive terms. Another topic for discussion, which there's been no consensus yet, was that to increase the term, the possibility of a ELAC representative from elected by Lakralo to serve more than one term. Currently, we have now it's specifically stated that it can only be served one term. But there's been a discussion whether to include a diversity requirement into those ELAC representatives.
Thank you, Dave. And Cheryl Langdonell from the record, for the record, perhaps not from the record, although you've helped me a great deal, because I thought I was hearing two things, and in fact it is two things. So if I may bifurcate, apologies to the interpreters, my answer. A bunch of that stuff, everything but the what you do with an ALS that you deem in some way, shape or form as inactive, belongs to the RALO structure. It's born out of the documentation that was prior to the signing of the memorandum with ICANN. In each of those, and I am dragging on my memory, but having read each of them for each of the regions, each change to your rules of procedure or memorandums and articles are required to be under particular vote structures. There is some difference. Some have to be at a General Assembly or an annual general meeting. Not fussed about the word. Some RALOs have a particular level of vote, a two-thirds or a supermajority or whatever. So there's variance there. But to every single RALO, those types of things are done at a meeting of current membership. Some regions define the membership able to vote as only those at-large structures who have been accepted by the ALAC at the time the announcement of the vote and information goes out. So you may find differences between Region 1 and Region 2 as to whether or not, if you became accredited between the announcement and now, but there is also, to my knowledge, something absent in many of these sets of advice, apart from the fact they're not harmonised or have common language. I remember at no point any of them saying how a reconsideration can be done. Thank you. And I'll come back to my second part after you respond.
Yeah, but my question to you, Al, wasn't so much the intricacies of the actual wording of how they implemented it. It was more of a question of how the actual modifications were approved. So not so much the substance of how they the language they used. Because the problem is that there's extensive modifications that's needed in the bylaw modifications, and sorry, in our bylaws, because there's been discrepancies discovered between the different language versions as well. So it's tricky. I'm not sure what's the proper way, and probably I need to talk to ICANN legal, perhaps advice from them to get some more feedback on that. No?
Can we have this as an action item, please, to facilitate speaking to ICANN legal about this?
Can I further that action item for ask Cheryl Langdonor for the record, ask a consideration to further that action item, that conversation would be well had with a representative from each of the regions, because to my knowledge, and perhaps gathering them all together into a single telephone call would be good, to my knowledge each region is looking at significant changes to its MEMS arts procedures or bylaws depending on how they're identified in their documentation, and I think having a little bit of a what you can and what you can't and why we do and why we don't discussion would be very good before people go too far down. If I can come back to the ALS issue, one needs to be very cautious, and one would be encouraging, or this one at this end of the table would be seriously encouraging, the regions to work to harmonise these types of rules and regulations. And they need to remember that what they're going to be doing is suggesting to the ALAC, note that, the ALAC, what it does or does not put out as minimum criteria, because it is the ALAC that accepts or rejects an ALS. So I suggest work together and get back to us is the pathway on that one. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other comments, questions, etc.? I see no other comments. Perhaps can we move to the next part of our agenda, which is the at-large improvements dialogue regarding the final report and next steps. And I believe that Seth can speak to us a little bit about this, please, with a quick update on that.
Hi, Seth Green for the record. We had a meeting while here in Singapore with the co-chairs of the work teams in which we simply reiterated the next steps. And very briefly, those next steps are the planning of the final report, which will basically include three simple sections. The list of recommendations for the ALAC coming out of each work team, the tasks on the simplified outline for which the work team has decided a recommendation is no longer timely or relevant, and why that is, and third, for the two work teams that have summarized their either motivation pre-improvements or their recommendations into flowcharts, will certainly include those flowcharts in the final report. Thank you, Matt. Following that, the report will go to the ALAC for...
Seth, the reason why the microphone has been pulled away from you is that you're about to eat it.
You
need to be a little further out. Thank you.
I have to not skip breakfast tomorrow. The report will then the report I'll take that we'll take staff will then take that data, complete the final report, and it will be its next stop will be the ALAC, where it will be considered, and then the ALAC will start the implementation phase. Thank you, Olivier.
Thank you very much, Seth. Are there any questions or comments with regards to the at-large improvements? Great. So I gather everyone knows what we're doing now, and we can all push. We'll do this one final push for the recommendations to reach the ALAC. And, Cheryl Langdonor has her hand up. So, Cheryl.
Thank you, Olivier. Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. Just to make the point that if you have a sudden, I meant to say something, and I've thought about it later, the reason we'd like to get... As the executive committee, the reason we would like to make sure this is tied up pretty well now is because on Friday, when the Executive Committee meets with some of the financial and controlling senior management in ICANN, one of the questions we want to be able to ask is what commitment do we have from ICANN, or what continuing commitment do we have from ICANN, affirming a previous commitment that improvements would be appropriately funded. And so to actually have that game changed after might be problematic, because we're going to go into bat to make sure that with a proper improvements implementation program in place, it will be properly supported and facilitated. And so this really is closing down the opportunity for change. There will be later, because we get reviewed again. In fact, we're only 2 years away from our next review. So there is not a total it'll never happen again, but do get to us very, very soon, like today, if there's something that you think is desperately wrong or missing. Don't wait to it go to vote or to the end. It's too late then. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. Did you say a new process will start in 2 years?
I believe so. It might be modified, but to my knowledge, we're on the cycle of things. The GNSO should be reviewed sometime in the next 12 or 18 months again. Why I'm saying something might change is because all of their implementation has not happened, and we are the cab that leaves the rank immediately after the GNSO.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yeah, that's I remember the discussion I had yesterday with some members of the GNSO, and the amount of work that a review entices, and the fact that sometimes one is not finished with a previous review, the next one already starts, so you have to review the review, which becomes a little confusing. Right. Any other questions or comments on this part of the agenda? And if there aren't any, are there any online questions or no? I see none, so we will move to the next part of the agenda, which is the review and wrap-up of ALAC business. Now, there are just a handful of points. I think we've pretty much covered everything that we've discussed here. Maybe we could have any questions to be asked. Wolf earlier had a question with regards to where all of the at-large ALS applications processed. Yes, that was voted. But there are a couple of specific issues. First, just an announcement or just feedback. The XCOM is going to have lunch with some registrars, registrar leadership team. So we're going to continue the dialogue that we've been having with the registrars. I think it's particularly important that we engage in such a dialogue, specifically with regards to consumer issues and and education for users. So it's particularly important. Sorry? Not decided where. No, it will be. Gisela is taking care of that. So that's really important as a dialogue. But then we also have two small issues, large issues, actually, which we need to perhaps have an update on. The first one is what's going on with the JAS working group. There's been a lot happening here, certainly during this week, on top of everything else. And so for a little update on this, I am turning giving the floor over to Evan Lipovich.
I just wanted to pay a little bit of heed to the work that has been going on intensively between the GAC and the ALAC as a result of the meeting that we had on Sunday, which was very well received. We found some very good common ground. And as a result of that, there was an extremely surprisingly effective meeting between a small number of ALAC people and a small number of GAC people that took place to try and come up with some wording on a joint statement. The good news is that statement has been made. The bad news is that the GAC has not had the time to be able to ratify it in time for this week's meeting. So here is where things stand as of right now. In the GAC communique that is being put out as part of today's public comment, There's going to be explicit mention of the jazz group and specifically a request of ICANN to properly resource and provide expertise to the jazz group because it has a lot of work to do in a very short period of time. So while the volunteers have been concentrating on the decisions and the high level, we're going to need some very, very good detailed level people to help word the document. I've heard a rumor that there have been people freed up who no longer have to work on existing applicant guidebooks that may be able to assist us with the ongoing work of this. We're definitely going to need documentation of similar quality for needs-qualified applicants. So there's going to be a jazz component of the GAC communique, and the statement is still very much alive. The GAC is looking to still ratify it and send it out as a joint letter. This will be raised as future ALAC business when this comes up, probably at the next ALAC teleconference, at which time I will be bringing forward to vote on a joint ALAC-GAC letter that will be submitted as joint advice to the board.
Thank you, Evan. I was waiting for your mic to go off. I thought you still had a few things to add. Any questions or comments on this particular subject? And I don't see anybody's hand up. Okay. And so next on my list of extra topics that were dealt with here is the one on consumer-related issue. There was a session on consumer metrics, wasn't it? Consumer confidence metrics, and we had both Bo Brendler and Evan Leibovich who participated in the panel. And so, Evan, could you say a few more words on this, please?
Just an update from that session. There is an action item that involves the creation of the next ICANN cross-community working group that is going to involve not only at-large and the GNSO, but for the first time, this group is also intended to include explicitly from the beginning CCNSO and the GAC. So this will be the first four-participant CWG to deal specifically with consumer issues. Right now, the terminology being used is consumer choice, competition, and consumer trust. I personally have a little bit of problem with the way that that is expressed because some of it is done as a supplier-side view of the public interest as opposed to the consumer or the public interest perspective on this. This is yet to be determined, obviously, but you can be assured that we will be coming back to all of you to find participation in this group because this issue is important. It needs to be embedded in ICANN's very way of working.
Thank you very much, Evan. And just to add, also, we had an additional policy meeting that took place on, I think it was on Monday, either Monday or Tuesday. It just feels like a long day, actually. And that discussed specifically the comments that were open. And so several action items were taken from there, and I believe that the Executive Committee will be taking up those action items in their meeting on Friday afternoon. Any questions or comments that anybody wishes to bring up? Yes, Dave Kissendall. Well, it's really any other business in a way, I guess, now.
Yeah, I have two, Dave Kissendall for the record. I have two small things. The proposed summit for developing countries, I think if the ALAC can put it somewhere on the agenda, I don't know where, but at least we can start thinking about it. The second thing is that, okay, further to the question of ROD concerning return on investment. So I think if we can set up a small group of people really taking care of it, because we do not want to be embarrassed. So much money spent on ALAC, what is return it, the return of it is. We have to, we know that all our ALSs, the ALAC we are doing a good job all the time. We are allocating to the conference calls, meetings, etc. But we want it to be documented, something like that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. That's a very good point, actually. But I would have thought part of our track record speaks for itself. But certainly, it's something to consider. It's just I'm a bit concerned about diverting resources from doing the work to doing the marketing about the work. But perhaps this is the world that we live in. Carlton.
Yes, actually, thank you, Carlton Samuels, for the record. That's my concern. I mean, quite frankly, when you get into that in this kind of environment, it's a setup for a pissing contest. And I personally don't think the reason why I made a specific reference to the CEO taking count of the amount of policy initiatives that came out of Iraq was for speaking for that purpose. So I want to let him understand that I know he's counting. And I want to put that on the record because some of our people simply don't get it. I don't have much patience for these kinds of things. Everybody knows this. It really is not going to help you. If you start marketing about what you do in this is politics, babes. This is high politics. And we need to understand that what we need to do is to continue to get in their face with the policy statements that we make on the record. And when they mention that they notice that we have said that, that's where we hedge in and that's where we do the marketing. Yes, we're saying these things. Glad to know that you noticed them. And by the way, we're coming back at you again. That's how we should do it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carlton. And Evan wanted to say a few words as well. Evan Libovich.
This is Evan. I have a brief follow-up to Carlton and another question to Dave about to get some follow-up from the actual meeting on the summit of developing countries and to get a little bit more information. But on the issue of the number of things that we do and that we send out, there's a part of me that has a concern that the sheer volume of what we send out, in fact, may be as much of a problem as a good thing. In that, you know, when you the GAC comes out and they do very few communiques, but they have the gravitas because almost the scarcity of them, in fact, inflates their importance. So, in fact, ongoing, we may want to consider the idea that we have important statements that we release in detail but less frequently and additional comments or letters that will indicate what we're doing that will happen more frequently, but, you know, we don't need to get the board's feedback on every little thing that we comment on. But, Dave, if there's a way, maybe not right now, but to do a small debrief to us on what happened about the Summit for Developing Countries, because I had to be in another meeting at the time. This is an important thing, and it does need ALAC's support and help. And this is information I think needs to go out to the broader community, and I definitely want to see you get the support that this project needs.
And, Dave, before you answer, I see Cheryl waving away, so it might be something that she just wishes to answer Evan about.
Thank you, Olivier. It's not a point of order, but it was becoming perilously close to it. Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. Evan, I couldn't agree with you more, but I'm going to ask Dave not to respond. The reason I'm going to ask Dave not to respond is one of giving it the right time and focus, which we do not have the luxury of now. I think this is a hugely important issue, so I would like to put forward that this is a single-purpose discussion that takes at least a 45-minute slot in the earliest possible ALAC meeting or joint regional leadership and ALAC meeting, and it becomes an action item for that. I don't believe we can do justice to it in the short time we have available. So I didn't want to have Dave cut off and we really need to have a proper discussion. So that was my issue. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, and I see that Carlton has supported your statement. Seth, you've... Okay, so staff has recorded this. Right, I think that we've reached the end of this meeting. But we do have a couple of extra extra items that we need to deal with. And the first one is to do with some of us who are leaving. A couple of people from Raylos have left their positions, the first one being Hong Chue, and the other one being Andres Piazza. And Andres had to...
And the third being Olivier Christophe.
Oh, well, no, but the third one is still here, is shackled to this table. I'm
but
not exactly
sure... But he has changed the head.
I guess it's a matter of thanks and a measure of appreciation for all the time that you've spent in your tireless job as chairs. I think we'll start with Hong.
Please come forward, Hong.
So Hong, please come forward. Stand up and...
Come on up.
Well done.
Photo opportunity. Who's got a camera? Quickly. Camera. Where's the camera?
The camera is somewhere.
Hold that position. Can't go anywhere yet. We're going to get your photo. Look at here. Thank you. Thank you. Hang on. Thank you.
I wish I had a mic or something. Okay.
Can you just
speak?
Now,
Cheryl Langdon-Orr taking over because I do. I just wanted to note that, of course, Olivier was far, far, far too humble. The work he has done as the Urala Regional Secretariat has, in my view, as I wrote on the card, set a benchmark. And I think that's a benchmark that we should all be very well happy. So I'd now like to recognise Wolf. Go ahead. Thank you, Wolf.
Thank you, Cheryl. I couldn't agree more with you. I think about Olivier, there are some very special observations. He was... elected to the Uralo board at the General Assembly at the summit in Mexico. He stepped in I would say he il a fait discrètement beaucoup de bruit.
And he made a lot of noise, but very discreetly. He made a lot of noise, but he did it very discreetly.
Over from Desi Greve in the secretariat function, he was an incredible help to the Uralo leadership, and he made an incredible career within a relatively short period of time from Uralo secretariat to elect chair. And this is something very remarkable, and I guess not necessarily standard setting, but Olivier, thanks a lot for all you have done for Uralo. You are now in a much better position, and therefore I'm somehow pleased letting you go, because I think you can be certainly more important where you are now than where you have been before. But I'm still proud that you are part of Uralo, and thanks again.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Wolf. I must say I've had a great time as Secretary of Uralo. The team is really fantastic, and thanks for your great help as well, and for the openness with which the whole board at Uralo sort of allowed me to come there as easily. I think it was a real model of openness, so I was very very happy and pleased to be able to help in that region. Of course, I'm also very thankful, having been put as chair of ALAC, and the team that we have here, I believe, is among the best teams of any group at ICANN. I think we've had, I wouldn't be able to do any of this without all of you people who are here, who work for, well, you spend your days here for no salary whatsoever. I'm not quite sure why, but fair enough. I often ask myself the same question, but yeah, no, it's really great to be here, and I'm really enjoying the ride, and I hope that you all are as well, and I think we are really making a difference, which is really important in the context of ICANN. So thank you. And finally, also a vote of thanks for Andres, who is leaving us, as many in at large, who have to work so hard for so many days and nights. People usually leave with a promotion, and Andres has now ended up with a job in LACNIC, I understand, and. This is great for him. We're all really happy for him. So thank you, Andres. I don't know whether he's not here. Well, he's already been snatched from the room, I guess. So well done, and thank you, Andres, for being with us. And good luck in the rest of your career. Thank you.
What I brought down behind, but I know you were very keen to see it. So perhaps you would like to take the microphone from me, but I can't help myself. I preceded you, so I'm going to do it again. This is a very special cake which we're all invited to share. It's been organised by Heidi to give her heartfelt thanks and support to... Where's Matt? Where have you gone? Matt, pay attention, boy. Thank you. Stand there. Right. Be complimented. Thank you. Heidi sent this cake.
Hi, Cheryl.
Specifically for you all. And I hope she is, yes? Great. Sophia's let her talk. Over to you, Heidi.
Hi, Cheryl. Thank you. I want to just give a few moments of my heartfelt thanks to the at-large staff for their extraordinary efforts these last 2 months, and particularly working, I can see from the emails, 24 hours through the Singapore meetings and in the week or so prior to that. And this cake was partly the work of Olivier and Cheryl and myself in one way of thanking you for those efforts and for the next 2 months while I'm bonding with my beautiful daughter. But also I wanted to just say a few thanks to those who are departing, and that would be, again, their roles in the Raylos. Hong, fantastic job. Thank you. Andreas, I know you're not there, but for the record, it was fantastic job. And as Wolf said for Olivier, thanks. You did a great job as secretary, but I think in your current role as ALAC chair, it'll be good to have you to have 100% of time for that very important position. So, again, enjoy the cake. Wish I could be there to help you enjoy that. And we'll see you shortly in a few months. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Heidi. We appreciate it and can't wait for your return for many reasons.
Thank you, Heidi, and thank you to everyone else, and thank you to the community for all the hard work you guys do, because, I mean, I know we work long hours, but you guys all have your day jobs, and you do all the hard work as well. So thank you to all of you for making it possible for us as well.
Well said.
Thank you, Heidi.
She said you're welcome.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you to also give me the opportunity to work with the at-large, like a wonderful set of people who work very hard and very diligently. I really appreciate the opportunity. So thank you all as well.
Keep in mind that this is only about 20%. Just wait until I get back.
Come back.
Okay. Okay, thanks, everyone. Enjoy the cake.